When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to Trust the Trail. We are your outdoor guides, Ariane Petrucci
and Scott Jans.
This is episode 192, Rise of the Recreational Rookie. On this episode, we address the rise of the novice hiker and how it's shaping our outdoor recreation. With little room for error in life-altering situations, where does experience benefit the average hiker? This is a short two-part series on the increase in interest in the outdoors and the impacts of these demands. Have recent events irreversibly saturated the outdoors? Get talking about this topic. Just go to our Facebook group page at facebook.com/groups/trustthetrailpodcast and start the conversation. Come hang out with us and be part of our community.
So we just got our monthly newsletter from Aaron Owens Mayhew of Backcountry Foodie. New yummy backcountry recipes. Very, very cool, which is why we partner with Aaron from Backcountry Foodie. Backcountry Foodie can offer you meal plans for your next backpacking adventure. And when we tell you where you guys are going to get to go in the next few months, that's going to be awesome. That can meet your specific needs. After all, she is a registered dietitian. She's an avid backpacker herself. Both Aaron and Trusted Trail Podcast understand how important nutrition on the trail is. Just go to backcountryfoodie.com and use the promo code TRUSTTHETRAIL and get 20% off of their membership services. Backcountry Foodie also offers our listeners who go on trips with us specific one-on-one meal planning that is all part of our adventure backpacking trips. And you are going to want to know, because we are going backpacking in Yellowstone. We're going backpacking in the Glacier National Park. We're going backpacking in the Grand Tetons. Yes, my friends, that's what we are going to do. Huge announcement. We're going to talk a little bit more about it in the middle of this podcast. So stay tuned and get more information. But wow, so super excited. So Backcountry Foodie, meal plan, Trust the Trail Podcast. We're going backpacking. So super excited for that.
I'm excited to hear all about it, even though I know what we're doing. Oh my God. So, okay. So this episode is, it's kind of been a long time coming, even though we spoke about it in episode 150, which was, will the outdoors be the new normal? Well, it is the new normal. It appears to be the new normal, because we have seen an unprecedented surge hit the outdoors, and it's not just backpacking and it's not just hiking, it's all outdoor activities. Of course, retailers are loving the increased business, but this is a big topic, because we saw it coming with the pandemic. Definitely, even though the outdoors, and let's talk specific only to hiking and backpacking, there's been an uprise and an uptick on the interest that has hit. But COVID, the pandemic, it definitely pushed those numbers. It took everybody's feet out from underneath them, and it hit us in an entirely different way. And I nobody was quite prepared for the influx that we're now seeing.
No, and I still can remember Dr. Fauci saying very clearly, the indoors is the new outdoors. And about, 50 million people went, really? And, I think we saw it early on when even during the lockdowns, we just saw an abnormal amount of people at trailheads. And I think we shared a video of that on our Facebook group. I think that, and I hate being right all the time.
Okay. Oh boy.
But you could kind of see that coming. And we'll get into this a lot more into the show, but I think that when the lockdowns happen and, people were starting to get a handle of, okay, what the deal is with the pandemic and how bad, is the virus and blah, blah, blah. I think there was a general attitude of like, well, you're going to be a lot better, in the outdoors. And so you could just hear everybody getting their camping gear out of the closet, out of the attic, going out and ordering stuff online and saying, you know what, we're going to spend this year outdoors. And that's really what we want to talk about, because we've seen it on the road. We've seen it on the trail. We've seen it just about everywhere, that there's a whole lot of people out here. And with that is such a beautiful thing. I mean, if one thing has been a blessing in the whole pandemic is that more people are experiencing outdoors, more people are experiencing the trail, more people are going to national parks and seeing our beautiful, beautiful land that we have. And that's a great thing. You couldn't, of all the advertising that all these companies have been doing for the last, 30 years, get outdoors and, REI is up outside.
Well, you remember the whole Utah, the top five.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah. I mean, with all the money that they've spent, it took a pandemic for everyone to go, yeah, I think I'm going to spend some, I think I'm going to get a little outdoor time. And they did.
Yeah, no, I think it's absolutely incredible. But I am so excited. I get so inspired by seeing the shift in what I've always seen the outdoors to be, even just on a bare level of like, oh yeah, I do think that it offers some benefits to me, and it's so inspiring to see it happen. But there's also a component that goes with that, mass exodus into the wilderness. There are some structural concerns. There are quite a bit of a lack of education out there that might kind of stem to not allowing those novice individuals to really kind of dig even deeper, and so it's like a one time done and then they're over it. But COVID has definitely increased that interest without doubt. To give you a statistic here, camping has increased 28% just in this last year alone. 28%. That's huge. When you think about that, 8 million additional people flocking to the outdoors. 8 million additional people. And then over 8 million Americans who have been hiking in 2020, it increased. Just hiking alone. So those were statistics for camping. You think the family out camping. Well, so an increase of 16% for hikers. That's huge. That's a huge influx of numbers that we're seeing in the outdoors now.
Yeah, and I think that's a great thing. I mean, that is a great thing to see. People getting out and with their families and spending outdoor time, with their kids. Getting them off the damn computer and, offering them a little Mother Nature. That is awesome, and we finally have been able to see, everybody from every race, creed, culture are going out and spending time in the outdoors, and hitting the trail, going hiking. I mean, like I said, that is a great thing.
So if you think about it, hiking is extremely a subjective opportunity for people to explore it on their own terms. And that's why it opens up this broad spectrum to anybody. The outdoors can accommodate almost anybody without the training, without the development, because it is something that's done at a slower pace on your own terms. And so, you know, it really does open up the door to almost anybody who wants to explore it, to really explore it. It's been interesting because in the past, historically speaking, you know, the outdoors has been somewhat exclusive, and now we're seeing a complete shift in that exclusiveness and tailoring it back to just like, it's a free for all. Come and enjoy the outdoors. Come and see what the exploration is. You know, hiking was first recognized as an outdoor activity by the Forest Service in 1933.
That's a long time ago.
Well, I just think it's a cool historical fact. I'm a history nerd.
You are a history nerd.
I really enjoy the fact. 1933, that's when it was first recognized, I should say. Not that it hadn't been done previously. But from the 30s, when it was first recognized, up until the 50s, it was... Honestly, it was either your dirtbags, your climbers, or your more privileged and wealthier class, because there were parks available for people. And so your average person would just simply go to a park because it wasn't as achievable to manage, you know, something into the wilderness, or the energy, the time, the finances, whatever it was. So, but then there was a shift in focus, as history allows. And the park system, the national park system, really started pushing in the 50s. And by the 60s, just 10 years later, the interest in the national parks just quadrupled the amount of interest. And so, I mean, we've been on this upward tick for a long time, right? So you take your basic, okay, national parks were a big thing, and oh my gosh, the family outing, and that's when things started really like kind of coming into fruition for your individual or your family outings. And I mean, I'm sure so many people have these incredible visions as a child, from, you know, going to the national parks. I unfortunately did not have that, because I am a history nerd, but that does stem from the fact that my family, they were artists. They were all into the art scene. So like we went to the art exhibits. So I've seen the inside of almost every art exhibition out there.
See, the only thing I was really close to nature growing up in the south side of Chicago was my dad making me cut the lawn. So that was about it. Hand me the lawnmower, cut the grass. I mean, that was about as close as I came to nature when I was a little kid.
I've always envied those people that had the epic family vacation in the national parks, but I'm doing it now. So,
well, it wasn't until I actually got into Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts that I actually went camping for the first time, which I think is, you know, back then when, you know, my generation grew up, I think that was pretty normal to go camping with the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and you know, things like that. And I still to this day remember my first camping trip ever. And it was under a full moon, and it was cold. It was chilly.
I remember mine,
too. And
I was
the water boy for the campground. I had to go down and hike down this really long ravine and get water from the lake with buckets, and then carry up the water for the entire campground.
Did you not think to negotiate that title or the responsibility?
No. Like, I was actually
can I pick back in the hat and grab a different responsibility?
But I think that's the whole thing, and that's the crux of the show, is that they're like, hey, Scott, can you go get water? I'm like, yeah, sure. How hard can that be?
Okay. This is exactly what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about. unpreparedness of and sometimes, you know, like, don't be the water boy. I think, but I think that's what we're talking about. It's like we've seen so many people out, outdoors this year for the first time, that there is a level of unpreparedness of what and how hard the outdoors can be. And, you know, because Mother Nature doesn't play. You know, Mother Nature doesn't, she doesn't know male, female, race, ethnicity, culture. She doesn't know anything about that. So it's hard for everyone. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about. I mean, we see this influx of new people coming out there, and we've also seen a huge influx of search and rescue.
Yeah, and that is a huge component of kind of what we're talking about, and the burden, the responsibility of what lack of experience, you know. Where does experience come into play when you're talking about just an average hike? And it comes into play a lot. Now it's a hard balance, because everybody has to start from somewhere. I started from somewhere. Scott started from somewhere. Everybody starts from a very basic beginning point. And I think, you know, sometimes there's just a basic intelligence that goes along with it. And sometimes that's a learned intelligence or learned adaptation to understanding what it is you're up against in reality. And so, you know, I was doing a lot of research. I was reading a lot of blogs and a lot of different forums out there, a lot of different opinions out there. But at the basics of all of it, the basics that, you know, the number one reason the largest percentage of hiking related deaths are attributed to only three basic things: lack of experience, lack of knowledge, and poor physical condition. And you've got to start from somewhere, right? So how are you... You know, how are you supposed to gain all of that?
Well, and the thing is that, you know, the person that is in poor physical condition, or the person that's unprepared, they deserve to be able to go outside.
Absolutely.
And so where's that balance of, you know, of everyone being able to go outdoors anytime they want to experience nature, and the balance of, you know, there is a, and all of us, and most people that are listening to this podcast, and, you know, that are members of our Facebook group and that we've interacted with, there's a learning curve. And I mean, I don't care what you do in life. I mean, I don't care if you're learning how to drive a car for the first time, or you're a teenager and you're dating for the first time, which is a lot of learning curve there. But you know, you've had your first kid, right? I mean, everything's a learning curve. Everything is a learning curve. And I think the one thing that, often is a little bit trepidatious for people that are going out into the wilderness or hiking for the first time is that, they don't know what they don't know. And I think sometimes it's kind of like, you don't want to be surprised out there of like, I didn't know this was here, or I didn't know this trail was so hard, or I didn't know that, you know, the trail went so far, or, you know, whatever the case is. And I think that's what we see a lot out, happening right now, is the I didn't know. And where's that bridge between making everything, you know, exclusive for everybody, you know, where everyone can go out there, and the learning curve of, okay, well, you know, you have to kind of know this or that or this before you go. And every national park website that I've ever gone to, there's the very first menu item is, what to know before you go. Right? And right. that is the one thing, and I'll admit this. I raise my hand in total admission. That's the last link I click on. You know, what to know before you go. Because I'm interested in all the fun stuff.
Right.
The what you need. Then all of a sudden I go to that link. That, I think, is kind of like synonymous with everything that's going on in the outdoors, is that we're bypassing the what you need to know before you go. And that's, we have seen this, whether it's backpacking, day hiking, camping, and even on the road in the RV category, is that we're kind of bypassing that link a little bit. And that's the first link that we should go. And I think that would help maybe cut down some of these search and rescues.
Well, I think it's an incredibly good point that you make.
Of course it is.
Theory. I was right again. You should just try being me in the relationship. This is a continual. But there's unexpected threats out in a wilderness environment. There's conditional threats, which you can only be so prepared for. But then there's preventable threats. And the preventable part of this is the education, is the knowledge, trying to know before you go. It's the preventable aspects. It's how long is this hike? How long am I going to be out there? What is the terrain like? These are the things that search and rescue and these parks are experiencing an enormous increase in, and they haven't released statistics for the full-on year and how this is all increased. Now some have, but as a broad scale, you would have to break it down specific by the area that you're going in, and these are the simple things, and a lot of it is being attributed to the fact that I'm not bringing enough water. I'm overexhausted. I just can't make it. My mental fortitude isn't it's strong enough to combat what I'm experiencing. I'm lost because I don't have the education of navigation. And I think these basic things, which is what we're really digging into this next podcast episode, is what are these things that we are trying to, what are these things that we're trying to combat? What are the biggest issues out there?
Well, I'll say this. So when we did Angel's Landing, okay, now you and I did not do that together, but
one of us didn't even do it.
Well, no, you climbed it. Yeah. I mean, you got up there. But Angel's Landing is, I think that's a perfect example. So let's talk Angel's Landing in Zion National Park. Angel's Landing is not a long mileage trail. And so you look at that on the map, and on the map, it's a short little red line on the map, right? It's 3 miles up, 3 miles back. Now, in most cases, you think 3 miles, I've done 3 miles. I can do 3 miles. But what people aren't, and the disconnect, I think it is that it's straight up.
The entire time.
The entire time. And not only.
There's very little flat.
And there's no flat. There is for a section. But when Jill and I did Angel's Landing, the one thing that we saw the most was that it's warm outside. Everyone's dressed in black and nobody was carrying water. So where's that disconnect? How does that happen? What are we doing wrong there? To say, you know what, being completely exposed in the sun, in Utah wearing black may not be a good idea. I'm not having any water on a very large elevation hike, where you are really burning calories. It's tough hiking, And I mean, it's just a tough uphill. You know, where is that disconnect to where the National Park Service says, better bring water. Here are some concerns. You know, you may be waiting in line in a hill, you know, holding on to a chain link, holding on to a chain, you know, waiting for people to climb up and climb down. You might get vertigo. But where is that disconnect? Why then are we in a situation or are people in a situation that then have to get rescued or then have to, you know, have assistance or then have to, you know, call for help? And the massive amount of people that are, you know, and Angel's Landing is just one example, but we did notice a large number of people when we were coming down there not carrying any water whatsoever.
What?
I mean, where's that disconnect?
So the disconnect, I truly believe, is in a lack of association with reality. So, you know, you can look at something, you can read, you can absorb, you can understand it, but without that experience backing up what you've read, it just doesn't associate. Look, prime example, Scott and Ariane decide to try to live out in the heat of Arizona in the summer. There, I mean, that's a prime example. Like,
in a beer can.
So we knew it was going to be really warm. We knew it was going to be a challenge for the heat. We knew all these things. But until you go through that experience, until you actually go through what you know to be reality, until reality clicks in, you don't really fully understand the scope or the capacity of how you need to differently prepare for it. Now, Scott and I would say we're now a pro at this. We have adapted. We have learned from it. We have resourced out. We have, you know, we have switched. We've switched how we see the process to adapt to the process. And I think that's the biggest thing. Without the experience, I don't think you connect all the dots. And that's the same for anybody who has ever gone out backpacking for the first time.
But I think the one thing that is changed this year is that if you have 10 people and they're like, I'm going to go hike and I'm going to hike this trail. And you say, okay, well, here's a few things you need to know. And they look at you and they say, but I'm only going to hike one time in my life. This is the only thing I'm only hiking this to have this experience. I want to hike, you know, Angel's Landing or whatever, this one time so I can get my, you know, my picture, my, you know, like I can say I did it. So I think the disconnect is, well, I'm only going to do it once, so why do I have to know anything? Like, why do I have to really learn hiking? Like, and I think that's because I think there's so many people out there, and I think that's one of the things that we are failing at a disconnect there, of like, it doesn't make any difference if you're never going to go hiking again. That doesn't make any difference. You know, there are, whether you're hiking for the first time or you're hiking for the 100th time, you know, there's just simple, basic things that you should know, or you should try to at least do research on, or at least try to be, or try to get a little bit more information about it. I mean, you don't get in a car for the first time without doing research on, you know, how to drive. That's what driver's school is for.
Yep. Not everybody passes that.
No. And I know a lot of states just, I know a lot of people just throw their kid in the car and say, figure it out. But you're giving that person less than an average chance of being successful. And I think that, you know, with what we've seen out the summer is that, you know, there's just gotta be a different, there's got to be a different way to embrace all the new people that are coming out here, and at the same time saying, look, so glad you're here, but you got, here's a couple basic things that you have to really understand before, you know, you hike up 5,000 feet in elevation in 85 degree weather, wearing black, being completely exposed with 2,000 other people.
Or following a geotag where, oh yeah, well that looks easy to get to. They did it. I can do it too. And not having the education of the terrain or what you're about to experience, which has actually been a huge percentage increase by statistics for search and rescue of the number of individuals that are following geotags now or following a beautiful post from an Instagram without the surrounding detail of how to properly route to get there or how to even explore it in, you know, the backcountry.
Yeah, and this is a completely different topic, but do you know how many people have died in the Grand Canyon falling?
Okay, so that's interesting, though, because...
But do you know how many people?
No, I don't.
Okay, so... These were social media
influencers, right?
This is just that category.
Right.
This isn't everyone. This category is social media influencers that the Grand Canyon put out for a stat on how many people have died. Guess how many people have died? 100 people. 100, what they call social media influencers, have crawled over the rail and fallen into the canyon.
Well, the statistic on that, I would like to know is
how many... And these are influencers.
Okay, but I would like to know how many were influenced to be more cautious and careful.
Well, I think they were under the influence. No. But I mean, I think that that's the disconnect, too, is that, you know, if you are a influencer, you know, you need to influence the right way, not everything that... the National Park Service or other outdoor, you know, whether it's a national forest or it's a wilderness area, state park, you know, everything that they tell you not to do. If you are an influencer, you should influence things the right way. I mean, that's how I look at it. I mean, that's it's all fun and games until someone falls into the Grand Canyon. Apparently, 100 people have, and they're dead.
You know, I would like to see a study done on how many newcomers to hiking and backpacking due to this massive influx into the backcountry, hiking, backpacking. I would like to see how that shifts with repeat visits and who... You know, how many of them return to continue their journey to learn from? And I imagine that eventually there'll be even more people promoting, I'm hoping, promoting the education or the just the basics of getting to know Mother Nature in a little bit more of an intimate way. That would be cool to see happen. And that's kind of what we're talking about in this next podcast is the lack thereof.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I think that, you know, it gets into a whole different topic, but, Leave No Trace has got to step up their game. I mean, for the love of God, they need to step up their game in all areas of what the outdoors, you know, should be and what it needs to be, you know, and the thing is that as new people come out into the outdoors and hike a trail for the first time and go backpacking for the first time or camping for the first time, which is a great thing. That's what we should be promoting. That's what we need to do. That, you know, that is what our public lands are for, is for people to enjoy the public land. And I think, you know, we want to make that for everyone, but at the same time, respect the public land, you know, make sure that there's a two-way dialogue between the land and the person that's hiking it.
Yeah.
You know, the dialogue is, thank you for letting me hike the land. And the land is like, thank you for not, you know, leaving trash and everything else on it. And because, you know, the fact of the matter is, these beautiful public lands at some point in time, and we see them, they're closing. And because of the multitude of people that are out there, and, you know, the multitude of people, it's their land. You know, in the United States, it's your land. So the more people come out there, and the more traffic that the public lands get, there's a duty to keep the public lands the way they are. And I mean, that's a whole different topic, and I want to get into that topic. That is a whole different topic of conversation. But I think that there is a voice, and there is a duty. We had this huge debate on Clubhouse, on the Clubhouse app, about, you know, new people hiking and, you know, what the message is and how do we get the message out? And, you know, what is our duty as, people that use these public lands, and the disconnect with all these new people coming in. And it is a safety. At the end of the day, it's a safety issue. You know, it's a safety issue. You know, and again, we could get into the weeds here with, you know, leave no trace and garbage and everything else being left on the trails and in these public lands and with a multitude of people coming out. And I don't know if it's I don't care. And I don't know if it's like, I didn't know. Or it's self-entitlement. I don't know what it is, but there is definitely a disconnect somewhere there.
Unwillingness to learn, or perhaps an unwillingness to become a little bit more connected to what it is that you're doing. And that's what I'm seeing more and more of. As we have this influx in, is, you know, the outdoors became the only safe place to be, or the only place that was open, or the only option for many. And so perhaps there's a disconnect in the fact that they're simply not connected to it in the same way that we envision it to be. And so that's what I'm seeing.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think that's okay in the beginning. I think it's okay not to be connected to nature in the beginning. You know, when people go out there for the first time, right? So, because I wasn't connected to nature the first time I went out there.
Until you got addicted to it.
The connection comes later when you start appreciating the fact that you get to be out there. I wasn't connected to it, but I will say this. I will say this, experience overrules everything. The more you do it, the better you get at it. And so, and the more you appreciate the fact you can do it. So, you know, just like driving a car, you know, the first time you get behind of a wheel car, it's kind of fearful. You're not really sure. You don't have that self-confidence. 20 years later, you're eating fast food in your lap, driving with your knees. I mean, you know, the self-confidence, it's just there. Why? Because you've done it so many times. And, I think with new people going out there, which is a great thing, I would say, there's got to be something that we're missing to help new people that are going out there to say, you know what, it may not work out the first time, but keep going, keep doing it, and you're going to get better at it. And, you know, trust the trail. It does provide everything you need, but you're not going to see that right away. You're not going to get that right away. And in the meantime, as you're going out there, to push yourself, to explore, to whatever reason you've gone to the outdoors, to whether you want to see something beautiful or you just want to experience that, is that, you know, be safe and respect nature. And if that message could get out, I think things could be a tad bit better.
Perhaps.
You know, so anyway, you guys, thank you so much for listening. We've got a whole great another podcast that we're going to continue this topic and this debate. We really appreciate you guys listening. Very, very super excited to be talking a lot more about Yellowstone and Grand Tetons and everything that we're going to be doing. We've got coffee cups, t-shirts, hoodies. If you go to trustthetrailpodcast.com and go to our merch link, we've got all kinds of new kind of like fun, different sayings on there. And it helps definitely support the podcast. Shout out to our lovely and amazing Facebook members. And of course, our patrons who help support our podcast. We couldn't do it without you guys. Angela Salas, Kim Keverman, Brother Bear, Jill Lang, EJ Newell, Becky Wenger, Helene Prophet, Ted Jones, Bob Esser, Jeff Nyman, Danny Bowen, Jack Masters, Amy Tappendorf, Lisa Pruitt, Mike Pellett, Brad Wolf, Suzanne Johnson, Gary Brucia, John Phillips, Shirley Nutt, Rick Hornick, Jessica Wolfen, Ethan Corona, Jordan Landcrack, Suzanne Adams, Jill Ryder, Kevin Frost, and Reverend Gina Purcell. Thank you so much for all of your support. If you don't know what Patreon is, Patreon is a secure platform that lets you support your favorite podcast. All you need to do is create an account, go to Trusted Trail Podcast, and as little as $2 a month, get special benefits for exclusive content. Our podcasts are available on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the big ones. If we're not on one that you listen to, please let us know, and we'll get on there right away. Remember, the trail does give you everything that you need, so
trust the trail, you guys. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.